This is 1320 WILS. So this week, the Pentagon announcing that it will directly provide weapons to Kurds in Syria, something that outraged the country of Turkey. Let's find out why and what this could mean for the battle against ISIS. Jim Phillips with us, Senior Research Fellow for Middle Eastern Affairs at the Heritage Foundation. Jim, great to have you on WILS.
Well, thank you.
What's the deal with the Kurds in Turkey? Can you briefly tell us why they have a problem with each other?
Well, since 1984, Turkey has been fighting off and on a separatist rebellion by the Kurds led by the Kurdistan Workers Party. This is a Marxist party formerly supported by the Soviet Union to dismember Turkey. And unfortunately, it opened up a branch in Syria that has formed militias to fight ISIS, which is a good thing. But the bad thing is that these People's Defense Units, the YPG, are perceived by Turkey, a NATO ally of the U.S., to be linked to the PKK. So although it makes military sense to work with the Kurds against ISIS, in the long run it leads to problems with our NATO ally, Turkey.
And Kurds, what are they, like a sect or a group? How do you describe the Kurds in general?
Kurds are a non-Arab ethnic group. They're the largest nation in the world that doesn't have its own state. Most of them live in Turkey, but there's also large numbers in Iraq, Iran, and smaller numbers in Syria.
And they feel that part of Turkey should be their own country? Is that it?
Yeah, they want to build a Kurdistan that would include, they ultimately hope to include Kurdish areas in all those states. And so for those reasons, Turkey and especially Iran have really clamped down on their Kurdish minority.
Does the U.S. have any position on this potential Kurdistan?
Well, the U.S. is committed to the territorial integrity of our ally Turkey and of Iraq. But in Syria, The Kurds were kind of a wild card that the U.S. picked up once its support for some of the Arab rebel groups kind of imploded.
So could they end up with their own country, essentially, within Syria after this battle against ISIS?
Yeah, they'll probably end up with an autonomous region, but not an independent state, because none of the surrounding countries would recognize such a state.
The decision then to arm them directly by the Pentagon, does that make sense for the U.S. to do that?
I think it makes military sense because the YPG has been the most effective military force in fighting ISIS, but you know, the problem is its political alignment leads to problems, and those need to be ironed out. It'll be interesting to see what happens when President Erdogan comes to the White House next week.
Yeah. So the what makes them so effective in fighting ISIS, the Kurds?
Well, they're very organized because they're non-Arab. Ethnic minority. They aren't infiltrated by ISIS, unlike other Arab rebel groups that are fighting the Assad regime. ISIS and the Al-Qaeda franchise have kind of absorbed a lot of these, but because the Kurds are not part of that predominantly Arab movement, they're willing to fight much harder.
No, they're non-Arab. Are they Muslim or non-Muslim or what?
Yeah, most of them are Muslim, but there are Christians. Some of the Yazidis are ethnic Kurds, and there's even Jewish Kurds, some of which moved to Israel from Iraq.
Well, Jim Phillips with us, Senior Research Fellow for Middle Eastern Affairs at the Heritage Foundation. So what is it? Where are we, by the way, with the war on ISIS? How close are we to shutting them down?
Well, ISIS's most important city is Mosul in Iraq, which is, I think it's Iraq's third largest city, and there they've been pushed out of about two-thirds of the city, and the city surrounded, they're fighting a losing struggle. Mm-hmm. And their other major center in Syria is Raqqa, and that is almost entirely surrounded by Kurdish and Arab forces, mm-hmm. And it's believed to be just a matter of time until they're cleaned out of there.
Okay, so are they? Is ISIS essentially on the ground about to be completely defeated?
I wouldn't say completely, but I think ISIS is going to lose control of almost all the territory it had in Iraq. Mm-hmm. At one point, it was like 40% of Iraq. But I think it'll still cling to some pockets of Syria. Mm-hmm. But it'll be forced to go underground every place else.
So where does that leave things? Because you're talking about the Turkey having a problem with the Kurds, and you've got, of course, the Assad regime. So once we get ISIS out of there, what happens next, you think?
The Kurds in Iraq are going to hold a referendum on independence, which probably will result in a vote for setting up an independent state, mm-hmm. and that could lead to real problems inside Iraq.
Within Iraq, okay. And what do you mean? What kinds of problems are you talking about?
Well, the Iraqi government in Baghdad is going to take a very dim view, just as Turkey did, to the setting up of a Kurdish state on its territory. Mm-hmm. So that could lead to a new civil war.
Okay. Should we have a position on this in the U.S.? Should we somehow support the Kurds having their own safe place, I guess?
You know, this is a real problem for the U.S. because we're allied not only with Turkey but with the Iraqi government in Baghdad. And if we come out in support of a Kurdish state, mm-hmm. then that's going to really complicate relations with those two countries.
Sounds like a potential mess. And then what about Assad? Once ISIS is down, essentially, at least on the ground there, where does that leave us dealing with Assad, you think?
Well, the U.S. has called for Assad to step down for power, but has not committed itself to forcing him out of power, mm-hmm. through military means. I think it's a long-term diplomatic goal, but I don't see him going anywhere anytime soon. And in the short run, that's good, because if he left, that would just strengthen ISIS or al-Qaeda. Mm-hmm. But in the long run, Assad must leave, or that civil war is going to go on and on and make it easier for ISIS to recruit Syrians.
Yeah, so we're not going to need U.S. soldiers on the ground there to put an end to ISIS?
No, I think we're going to need special forces on the ground, but hopefully not a huge conventional force such as the one that invaded Iraq in 2003.
Okay, which we don't have that force there now, right?
Well, right now we have about 1,000 U.S. military personnel in Syria. Most of them are special forces that are operating with Kurdish militias or Arab groups, mm-hmm. against ISIS. But there's also a 400-man Marine artillery detachment that has been deployed outside of Raqqa that is shelling ISIS positions there.
Okay. Is that all we'll need to contribute, you think? Or?
No, I think it's going to take a lot more to get ISIS out of Raqqa. Mm-hmm. And Raqqa is not as big as Mosul, but the campaign against ISIS in Mosul has already taken 7 months. And Raqqa has been surrounded, but it hasn't been invaded yet. But there may be a need for more, at least U.S. air power and special forces, if not some kind of ground forces to take Raqqa.
Yeah, anything going to be really more peaceful, you think, in the Middle East once ISIS is mostly defeated?
No, I think things may calm down a little in eastern Syria, but still in western Syria, northwestern Syria, there's is a major hotbed for al-Qaeda, and that's going to continue for I think, many years.
So really, is that another thing we should start focusing on then?
Yeah, that, you know, ISIS are, you know, young guys with guns in a hurry, but Al-Qaeda is playing the long game. It's putting down roots. It's not going out of its way to alienate the locals. It's trying to join in kind of popular front type alliances with them. And so I think once ISIS is gone, Al-Qaeda will still survive to be a threat.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a balancing act, you know. You knock out one area, the other area gets to be a problem, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, often Americans think of a war as like a football game where there's two sides and it's a well-defined field and, you know, you march up and down the field. But in the Middle East, it's more like a kaleidoscope of shifting factions that are on your side in respect to some issues and against some enemies, but they have a way of realigning and changing their alliances at the drop of a hat.
Incredible. Jim Phillips, Senior Research Fellow for Middle Eastern Affairs at the Heritage Foundation, right here on 1320 WILS. Jim, I've learned a lot. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.